Hello, foodies. It is December and therefore I'm not thanking a single name today. I don't want to thank a certain someone today, not even our sponsor, although do check him out, of course. But I want to say a little thank you to everyone listening to our show and watching it, actually, over the past year and actually years. So thank you all for listening and supporting us. And of course, here's to another year of Food and Review. And with that, it is Food and Review episode 573. It's our last content-based show of 2023, where we look back on 2023. We talk team of the group stage. We talk the new heroes. We have a new segment. We also do stop, start, and sell. We have a full roster tonight. So I say, well, let's get into business. And don't worry, even after tonight's episode, we'll release more special episodes, but those are already pre-recorded and not based on any content. So do keep an eye on your feed, because we're definitely not done yet. My name is John, and I'll be your host today. And joining me is the full crew. But let's start with the man that's on the left side of my screen. It's none other than Mr. McIntosh, the teddy bear, which, well, has wear an even better Christmas hat than I am. Also, if you're looking at the YouTube version, we're all wearing Christmas shirts. It's none other than Chris, Grandpapa Mac. Hey, Chris.
How are you, my friend? Is the festive period treating you well?
So far, yeah. Probably one more week and then might actually be able to take some time off.
Good stuff.
For the first time in 3 years, actually. So,
well, here's hoping, mate. I have a festive fact for our listeners out there, which is actually related to yourself. Do you know that hanging stockings out comes from the Dutch custom of leaving shoes packed with food for St. Nicholas donkeys? So do you pack your clogs full of carrots for the donkeys, John?
No, because we celebrate Christmas way differently than I think anyone else does.
So that's not a true fact then?
Not that I know of, no.
Oh, come on. Our Dutch listeners out there, come on. Is John missing out? Should he be filling his clogs full of carrots? Will he get extra presents from Santa's donkeys?
Yeah, all three Dutch listeners, let us know. It's good to have you back, Chris. Also, joining us today is none other than the man that's usually here on Friday, and actually we have the numbers with me, which we'll be discussing soon. It's none other than Mr. FC24 and FIFA database. It's none other than the legend. It's Yngwie.
Hello, hello.
Hello, my friend.
Hello.
You're the only one not wearing a Christmas hat. Are you being grinchy or just didn't have a Christmas hat on?
I don't have a Christmas hat, to be honest. So, yeah, sorry about that.
Bah, humbug.
I don't.
Maybe we should find a sponsor that makes like merchandise with Christmas. Yeah. Well, if you know anyone, let me know. How are you doing, buddy?
I'm good, thanks. Good to be back again.
And also back, also from Scotland, wearing a full sponsored but not on the show Christmas outfit. It's none other than John, aka Talking Foot. Hey, John.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on. Looking forward to tonight's pod.
Definitely. It's good to have you on, mate. So tonight is going to be a little bit of a, well, less organized show, I'm afraid. But to make sure we start organized, I just wanted to make sure we start with the content. And normally when we talk content, we talk about the week in review. But because we're with four people now, and I actually want to spend more time after the break, I just want to ask Mr. Content himself, Yngwie, what would be your rating this week from 1 to 10, 1 being rubbish, 10 being brilliantly? What is your rating of this week in review?
It's not been too bad, but it's not been great. So maybe I think I'll give it a 6. There's been lots of things to do, but like not too exciting things, maybe. Not going to complain about the certain controversial SPC called Zidane SPC. That's something to grind towards. But yeah, I feel after Thunderstruck, it's not easy to kind of be on the same level as that one, because that one was very good. So it's been okay. It's not been bad, but it's not been super. But at least I've been busy though, so I'm quite happy about that.
That's good though. Well, I have to mention the Zidane SPC, because of course Daniel and Shaq had a, shall we say, slightly controversial take on that SPC, and they have never said it's actually a bad player. they said, I think it's a very expensive SBC for what it is, for the player it is. Well, I was like, maybe I get where they're coming from. And they both have good teams, of course. But the comments we got online, the hate they actually got on socials from it, I've never seen anything like that in my life. Apparently they are Div 5 players. They are noobs. They people were going nuts. But it was good for social interaction. Let's put it like that. It's good to have those on. Talking about something special, though, I want to go to John, because John, you qualified for Weekend League and you've played Weekend League, and we shouted you out. But mate, what changed? What mindset connected, and how are you feeling now?
I think for me, I'm going to give an 8.5, pushing a 9. Just had a great week in FC. I think once you get past the barrier of the qualification itself, I actually really enjoyed my champs. I got 9 wins, which is the best I've had for a long time. Only got one gifted. Gifted my last game because I couldn't do anything with it. I've had decent pack luck. I've grinded Kenny Dalglish. Since the patch, my FIFA seems better. I'm still going to call it FIFA. I seem to be playing better. I've just had a really good week, 10 days. Really thumbs up.
Oh, awesome to hear that. Well, Chris, quickly, what rating and why?
10 for me. I would say 10 because I am not a ZZ hater. I love that man. He is absolutely amazing. He does not do the ordinary. He does not do tracking back. He just has the God touch. And I cannot believe that Shaq and Wimby dissed on that one. Let's call it for what it was. They dissed on that. And they are getting some interesting comments that we've read about. And to be fair, they've got broad shoulders, the two of them. They can handle it. But for me, it's an absolute 10. I love Zidane. I've done it within about 4 days. The 83 times 10. The 78 player picks, absolutely amazing. And I think when we go and talk about the next icon that's been released, Fair Play EA, that's a 10 from me. I love you, Zidane.
Yeah, awesome. Oh, God. I will put that on socials just to make sure people don't come up towards us with pitchforks before the end of the year. Yngwie, tonight brings us some content. Let's start with the content before we dive into festivities, shall we?
Yeah, we got the team of the group stage from the European Cups. So there's a little bit of players and SBCs and things in that theme. Expensive players, cheap players, and extinct players as well, it seems. There's a certain Dutch player playing for Liverpool that seems quite extinct at the moment. So I'm a little bit... I was hoping to kind of buy him and test him, but I'll see how much he pops up for later. I'm guessing the range will be moved. Ryan Gravenberg or Berg or... Yeah, you know me.
Gravenberg.
Yeah, yes. Huh? Him. The man, the myth, the legend. Good player. Very good player.
I'm not thinking agree. It's Man United as well. Or of course, Liverpool, sorry. But I said next match is against Man United. And I was like, I want to see how this card does against Maguire. But I'm also afraid to saying anything bad about Maguire after that. We got this week on social. So let's not go there. Gravenberg, though, medium. Not an issue?
I don't know. I used his non-inform and I didn't notice the medium stance. So he's kind of a Gullit gang now with this new upgrade. So he might be really good. Looks fun, at least. So with Relentless Plus, so he can pretty much run for 120 minutes at least. So that's also a good thing to have at a CM, CDM type of
player. He's just medium, so he won't really run. But hey, Ingrid, can you explain what happens with these cards? Because they're life cards, eh?
They're not life cards.
They're not?
Nope. These are the ones that are kind of rated the best players from the group stages in the competitions. So these are kind of standing out players from, well, according to this. So they're not live. They can't get any more upgrades. So these are like a fixed one-time upgrade.
Yeah.
So, but some good, interesting players, of course.
But yeah, that Mbappe card seems all right.
It seems expensive. Doesn't look that much better than his Player of the Month card. So I don't know if I would buy him if I had a Player of the Month or non-inform. So,
well, there's one big difference. You can start him on the wing.
Yeah. Well, you can start the other cards on the wing as well, though.
Sure, but out of cam, right? This one's left winger on its own.
Yeah, well, the Player of the Month one is left winger as well, so I don't know.
Oh, true. That's true, actually. The others one aren't, right? Or am I not getting...
The inform is left wing.
Base Gold is left wing as well, because I've got him.
Yeah, and the Trailblazer is left wing.
Well, so, I have to edit that one out, but that's not on footpin, so thanks. Guys.
Can I just ask Yngwie, just everybody knows, let's be honest, it's not a leak this. Everybody knows the 93 Player of the Month coming out. So
yeah,
people are probably here wondering, what do you think, and you're the database expert here, what do you think that price of that SBC will be if you're looking at this card being at the moment extinct at 5.2 million? If you had to put a price on the 93, what roughly do you think it will be?
4.5, I think. Something like that, since it's untradeable. It should be a little bit lower, but I'm guessing that after a week, that Mbappe card should drop under 5. But since it's tradable, of course, it's going to be worth a little bit more.
I think you're right, but I'm going to say 4.3, but who's got fodder to do it? I know we're jumping the gun, but
yeah,
who's got fodder to do it?
Not me.
Well, there's another Dynasty pack out, so you can get like 100 players in to try for it.
Yeah, but that's not 100... gold cards, so it's 40 gold cards on the one Dynasty Sundry, 140 gold, 35 silver, and 25 bronze. So I don't think you get much done for for the Mbappe SBC.
No, I did that.
Yeah,
that
we're jumping the gun, but yeah, you're right.
I got 83 out of that one, so yeah, there's
that. Easy skip.
No, but I think Chris is right, and John, of course, as well, right? Like, when the player on the month comes, and not if, but when, because he's already been announced officially, not the card itself, but that he will win it. Yeah, well, then it's hard. So do you save it for that one? Or who has fodder these days? That's also the good question. It's hard. And also to rate him SBC on price is going to be hard, because we don't know what promo it got. If we get another promo where these upgrades are all out, I think he'll dip in price, so they probably have to rate him higher if they give him a good promo as well.
Yeah, well, it depends what playstyles and things they do with the card. I'm guessing he's going to be a 93 rated. I'm like 99% sure that he's going to be 93 rated. But if EA gives him a 5-star weak foot or something, then of course it's going to be very interesting. But I doubt they'll do that. I'm still expecting 5-star skill moves and 4-star weak foot. So that's why 4.5-ish price is my guess. If it's higher like that, then I don't know how people are going to even think about doing it.
True. I think that's definitely fair. I will see. Anything you want to discuss or put on the table for us concerning the team of the group stage?
No, there's maybe a few quite... I wish there were more from... There's like one player from the Conference League, is it?
Mm-hmm.
Most are from the Champions League one, which I think it's a shame. I think there should be more from the other competitions as well. Just make the team 1, 2, or 3 or something, because there's been some very good performances in the other competitions as well. So why not honor those? There are from good teams, there are good nations, and would make things a little bit more interesting when it comes to team building as well, and give people that are supporting other clubs than the kind of top elite normal ones would have a chance to have a promo player from their team, which I think is nice.
Fair enough. Anything you guys want to add, John, Chris, on the team itself?
I mean, I just think it's, you look at it, you've got your Leao card at 88 rated, 922,000, 4-4. I mean, it's a fast card, but I just feel that we're getting to the stage now where people's teams, that you're touching 90 now for players. I think any player under 90 is going to be a bit of a problem, especially going into the festive period. And you look at some of the stuff that's on offer and the SBCs that have been out, you know, you take the Bernardo Silva card at 91. I mean, you look at the price of that, I think it's going to be pretty cheap still. So I think, yeah, we're getting to that stage, especially when we get to Team of the Year nominees and all that, that 90-rated cards are the way to go. And these cards here, unfortunately, are going to be fodder.
John, do you think the curve is now suddenly rising a little bit too fast, maybe?
Yeah, I think I mentioned that last time it was on, actually. Where was the curve going to go? And I think the curve's out the window. You can already see that. They'll obviously try to maintain it a little bit, but there's a Hurricane SBC, that's 93 rated. We've obviously got 93 Mbappe, a couple of other 93s with a 94 for team of the Player of the Month. You've already got Kenny out there, you've got Eusebio out there. Yeah, they're really pushing it. You're even looking at, there you go, Hummels, 88 rated, 37k. I'm not saying it's fodder, it's above fodder. It's not far above fodder. You're looking at 88s as fodder now, 89s as fodder. Yeah, we're into the, like Chris said, we're into the 90s, 91s, 92s, and that's the way it's going to go.
Yeah. I think you've got to look at the Eusebio card out at the moment, you know, 92 rated icon. Compare that to the 92 rated Mbappe. I know he's, you know, different animation, but he's got that 5-star weak foot. So a player like myself who hasn't got the skill to move it onto the stronger foot can only take the chance as soon as it comes. That's an absolute, you know, godsend for me, the 5-star weak foot. And I think you hear about the Mbappe, people are talking about playing them wide. Sometimes they're not happy playing them through the middle because of the weak foot. So the 2.7 million is at the moment, I mean, I think it's 61 days, especially going over the festive period, they're going to see some more SBCs. I'm not sure that last week, you know, with the 83 times 10 is the last time we'll ever see that as well. You know, the 78 player picks look pretty juiced. It allowed me to get the Zidane SBC done fairly, fairly quickly. So that card for me looks like it's maybe on the high side, 2.7 million. I'd love it to be closer to 2.4 that. But at the minute, that card's going for 3 million. So people who own that card, it's only fair that that's probably the SBC price. But that's probably a card I'd be more looking at than any of these team of the group stages.
Ken Kenny.
Unfortunately, he's a Celtic legend for me. I know he's a Liverpool legend, but he can't play him. He's not getting in my team, unfortunately. It's like Keane as well does never get in. Any two of them don't get in. So, no, Ken Kenny is not getting in my team, I'm afraid. Zidane would walk.
He's staying with Sam Lammers, I think.
Oh, no, don't mention that name, John. Look, I'm in a good mood. My team won in Spain last night for the first time ever. So I'm absolutely delighted. Sam was there. Sam's ideal. He's what Sam's good at. Sam's good at getting in the way of defenders. Not actually touching the ball, but just gets in the way. Do you know what I mean? Congratulations to my team. We're absolutely delighted. And let's hope for a big result on Sunday, winning the cup.
He's basically me at the Foot and Review event. Hey? Ingvy, talking about Eusebio, you guys mentioned it all. We got a 92 Eusebio SBC. What do you think, mate? Better than Douglas? Are you bothered by the fact you already did Douglas?
No, I'm not bothered with that because Douglas is a really good card. And of course, he's a Liverpool legend. Kind of my idol when I grew up. So I'm really happy about that. The Eusebio price is, I think, good. Good price for the card, but still 2.8 million after doing Kenny and Zidane. I won't be able to do that, I think. There's 9 weeks, so of course I can, if I have extremely good pulls, which hasn't happened, the hint, hint, EA, for the last months, I guess. So, unless something magical happens there, I won't be able to do it. But the card is, of course, really good. Not the best attacking striker type of play style. He's rapid, but I think I would rather have a kind of finishing type of play style plus on a striker costing 2.8 million. For me, I would love to have the card. I'm pretty sure it's great. But it's not like I'm going to be really sad that I can't afford to do him since I already have Ken Dalglish done though.
So now it's time for a little story and I need your opinion on that as well. I asked this morning, should I do Dalglish because I'm lacking one good striker, and you guys, let's do him. Then this came out and I'm now 3 squads into Dalglish and not the cheap squads, unfortunately. There's 8 days left on Dalglish. Do I do everything in my power to get Dalglish done, or do I say, okay, I just, these three are lost and just start putting the rest into Eusebio.
You're in, John. You're in for a penny, in for a pound.
Yeah, definitely. 100%. You've got to go for it, John, because I think the difference between Dalglish and Eusebio is minimal. The only reason I would think about doing Eusebio is I love the card and I've always enjoyed using them in the five-star weak foot for me. Somebody like yourself who, I hasten to add, is a better skiller than me, maybe not a better player, but is a better skiller for sure. You know, he'll enjoy that card. And Kenny, between the difference between Kenny and Eusebio, and if you've done the two or three top SBCs of that one, or the pricey ones, get it done, mate.
I'll try to get it done. That's the other issue, right? 8 days is a short period. When you're listening to this, it's 7 days.
Yeah, but if you look at the Playstyle Plus, Eusebio's got Rapid Plus, Ken Daglish has Finesse Shot Plus, and then Eusebio has the normal ones. It's Quick Step and Power Shot, while Daglish has Dead Ball, Technical, Flare, Quick Step, and Trivela. So I don't think you can go wrong with the Ken Daglish one. I think you talked about the Finesse Shot still being really good. So I think you can get a lot of goals out of the Daglish one as well. I don't know if it's going to be like a crazy difference if you go for the Eusebio one that's almost 1 million more.
That's a good shout, though. Thanks. You guys convinced me to at least grind towards Daglish. If I ever make it, I'll let you know. I'll let you know. Yeah, I think that's a good way of summarizing it. Thanks, Kingvi. I got some nice icons, I got some nice orange icons, but the blue icons have arrived, mate.
Well, the Heroes, the Champions League one.
Heroes,
team one.
Yes, but these are icons, honestly.
Yeah, they're legends of the game, of course. That's true.
I have to mention it. We've decided to actually start drinking in this episode, which you'll probably notice by my feedback so far.
Cheers.
That's, cheers. There's a cheers. Team one. Team 1 and Team 2 of the Heroes, which I am usually not a big fan of, but fair enough. The Team 2 will be in packs from... Yeah, that's... doesn't say, really. It says... Well, it says the 16th, so that should be tomorrow.
Yeah.
So I don't know why they don't just put everything in packs today. Okay, then it's
I
not
think
too
that's
long
a mistake, Calvin.
Yeah, that's
has to be gonna, next week, eh?
I'm guessing next Friday, but I will see. If it's tomorrow, it's no problem at all. It's fine. But the players in pack now are Kessler, Abedipele, Tevez, Bumpastor, Futre, Company, Littmannen, Guy, Alex Scott, Solskjær, Kanu, Ramirez, and Jonan Riise. So those are at least 100% sure in packs today, Friday.
And, which one did you get, by the way, last week?
I got the Kanu, of course. Cheapest one, I guess. and he was really bad. So he's probably going to go into an SBC.
I got 89 Rui Costa, and he went into Kenny Dalglish.
Chris?
Yeah, I got Litmanen, 89, and he went into ZZ's SBC, along with Player of the Month Salah.
Ooh, that's a...
Now, to be fair,
I've kept Salah, I think.
To be fair, I was hit with Duke Fury, so I finished the Player of the Month, Salah, and then opened up my Team of the Week pack, and lo and behold, who was there but 91 rated Salah. I put the red on, and I have to say, he looks good in red. Would you agree, Yngwie?
Yeah, that's then you're forgiven.
So now I've still got Salah. He's in my team. And I think when we talk about our segment that we're going to talk about in terms of the ZZ SBC, that's one that maybe we need to bring up as well.
Yeah, I packed Kessler and went straight into my main team. Not to worry about there.
Though. Yeah, that's a great pull.
Any SBCs or content you'd want to discuss further than this?
We can quickly go through that. We got... team of the group stages, Luis Alberto objectives you can do for an 89 rated card with some good stats. Of course, medium, typical center mid type of objectives player, very popular. Very good passing, good dribbling, not so good stamina. So I'm guessing many will probably unlock him. He has the finesse plus playstyle, so that's nice, but I think he's lacking too much to be a starter in most teams, at least that's been with us from the start of this game cycle.
I think. Yeah, fair, I think, actually. Anyone else want to get into this fight with Ingvi? I wouldn't dare to.
So. You should do it, John, because you need the fodder for the Ken Dagli. So it's 89 rated card, so that's very good to have in the higher SBCs for you.
That is true.
Mm-hmm. And you can do it in squad battles, John. We know you love squad battles.
Yeah, exactly. that's something I've learned this week, is that I just like playing rivals and draft. And for the rest, I don't care about anything gameplay related in this game.
You can unlock him in rivals, so that's no problem at all.
I mean, I think a player we have to talk about is the player they're calling Bugatti Veyron, the 89 rated icon. I don't know if anybody watched the pros on Monday night, the Travellas goal that he scored. Forgive me, I forget who the player was, but a lot of players used him, and he actually looked a decent card in the pros' hands. And they were quite surprised. He mentioned that in the commentary. So if MD's looking for someone, he's 80,000. I don't own any, so I'm not trying to push the market. Unlike some of the commentators that are on the show on Monday night with the live cards, they've got 40 or 50 of them yet. Great card. He's going to get boosted. Quite weird that I was allowed to go on there. I'll probably get banned for that now, but it doesn't matter. But 89 rated Veyron. Looked a good card in the pros. If you guys want to check out the Twitch stream for EA, if you haven't done it already, he looked all right. 79,000, worth maybe giving a try in weekend league for someone who's maybe thinking about it.
Yeah, why not? He's medium, but I watched a few matches and he looked like he was moving fine around the pitch without them triggering runs. So maybe he could be really good in game if you just give him a try. Why not?
Can't believe people make fun of me using Pirlo and now everyone's on the Veyron hype train.
Yep. You're a trendsetter, John, so good.
Veyron's 87 is 20,000, so that's fine.
I don't think John's ever been called a trendsetter.
Well, it has to be a first one, so.
I'm not sure I like this anymore.
Unique. I think we would say he's unique, not a trendsetter.
Yeah. I'll shut up now. Thanks, John. I appreciate that. When are we seeing you again?
Never.
I don't know if we should talk about the new evolutions that were released. I have.
You want to talk about evolutions? We also have a question about evolutions, so we're going to take those two into the same topic. Because when I get the questions in front of me, I think Simon asks, what's the best new addition to the game? Is that playstyles or is it evolution? I can't be bothered with EVOs personally, but I just love trying out the various playstyles. I agree with Simon, but I know Ingvi loves his evolutions. So Ingvi, why do you love evolutions? And did that change tonight?
I'm torn. I really am, because I've been so hyped about these evolutions, but I feel kicking me down all the time with these requirements. For the ones that are founders that joined and played the game before November, they get certain exclusive founder evolutions, and we got the first one when the game started, a striker, and most I think have done that and have a was an okay card in the beginning. I was like waiting for the next one to upgrade that card, and I was as well, because I did the Darwin Nunez one. He's an 84 rated striker. And then I saw the requirements, and as an overall rating, maximum 85. Okay, that's fine. That Darwin is 84, and then pace 94. Oh, fine. Darwin is 93, and checking what is next here, and I see shooting max 80. And of course, Darwin Nunez, he has 84.
Yep. So he can do Kolo Muani, though.
I can do Kolo Muani, but I would want to do the player I already started with to make him super relevant, which he would have been. Because you get a skill move upgrade as well, from what I have seen. So, and then I look at the Instagram of EA, and they show an example of non-inform Rodrigo, and that card has base shooting of 81, so I would guess that it should at least have been 81 as maximum, at least. That's one thing. And when we got the information about the Founders Evolution, there's an info. This is just the first Founder Evolution reward to celebrate the beginning of EAFC 24. Founders will receive additional evolution upgrades exclusive to their status throughout key moments during the year. These extra Founder Evolutions will allow you to continue to upgrade your Founders player item. But I can't upgrade Darwin Nunez, which I did. Why?
I think EA has a very hard time trying to balance evolutions for not getting them too strong. Mm-hmm. And therefore sets some boundaries. And it's just a weird man.
I'm going to jump in, John. Right? Most
you already
people,
did, mate.
Yeah, and I'm going to keep jumping in. Right, so if you look at the evos in my eyes, there's two camps. There's those that are doing the meta cards, and that's probably why they've got these restrictions in place. Most people are using their clubs. You see it online. You try to do Liverpool. I'm using St. Johnstone. The best card we have is a silver card. I've done one upgrade on him. I took him to, I think, a 70. And I can't upgrade him again in the last set of evos because he's not a left winger. He's only a left midfielder. Or was that? He's a left midfielder because he plays central midfielder. He can't go into it. There are so many handicaps. And I refuse to pay 150,000 coins to upgrade a bronze to a better bronze. It doesn't even get to a silver. Honestly, it is frustratingly badly run and organised. Now, I get it. It's the first time that they're doing it, and it's trial and error. But, geez, and they're trying to maintain the power curve for the top end. They're totally neglecting the bottom end. And that's all I'm going to say.
No, I agree with you. I agree with you. But there's one thing there, though, is the power curve is already, like, if they put out the Savio SBCs, there's no issue getting these players a little, like, giving a little bit of leeway, yeah?
I mean, I think John's right. I mean, to go back to Simon's question, what's better?
John's are all there, right?
You know, Simon's question is, what's better, playstyles or evolutions? Well, evolutions is ideal if you want to do SBCs because you can get 88 rated cards fairly cheaply and you can barter them into the SBC. That's what I've done. I've got two on the go at the moment. They'll be going into the Eusebio SBC. Playstyles, in my opinion, are better, and I'll explain that later. But just to touch on what John said there, I mean, we both support teams and leagues, I would say, are not really loved by EA, the SPFL, and we would love to take our player, our favourite player, and that's what I thought Evolutions was about. All the Evolutions was at the start of the game, you pick a player, and he is with you and your club all the way through to the end of the game. And for somebody like John, St. Johnson, I'm sure no mind me saying this, it's very unlikely that they make Team of the Week or any other thing like that. Even when they won the Cups, I don't think they got any special cards. So someone like John or someone, anybody, even guys who support teams in the Indian League, I mean, let's be honest, what are those players doing in the Indian League? They're only bronzes. There's no way of upgrading them. Surely there's a chance for someone who's a fan of a team in the Indian League to then boost that card that he can use at the end of the game and be an end game player. Even if it's 94, 95 rated, it doesn't matter. This is where they've dropped the ball on Evolutions, and the fact is they've missed the whole point of whatever we thought it would be. Evolutions is continually improving, and that's not what we've got. What we've got is a situation where it's just mismatch. Pick that player there, pick that player there, and the guy that you've done at the very start, and I'm a founder, and I've done Murata, when I go look at Evolutions, I don't have that option even that you're talking about, Yngwie. That Evolution for me is not even there on my app, so I might need to log on the console. So I think they have dropped the ball. There should have been a roadmap at the start of the game that players would have known this is what you can do all the way to the end of the game, and that would have been so much better.
Mm. You do have to log in on console to unlock it, I think.
Right, okay,
yeah, I'll,
no problem. Because I didn't have it, and now I just logged in, and now suddenly saw it pop up. So.
So for me, I hope the Murata card can be upgraded, and I'll find out when I log onto my console, because I did do him, and he's still in my club. But at the moment, Evolutions for me is just a handy way to get 88 rated players. For me, playstyles is far better. Nothing better than the crossing one. It's absolutely beautiful, that playstyle plus. You got Baka there, whose team is absolutely smashing it in the ladies' Champions League. So that card's going to hopefully get upgraded again. And there's nothing better than that. that tiny wee warrior winging the ball in the box for Lewandowski to head the ball home.
Wimby says in chat, and of course you can chat in and listen in live when we are recording this, if you join our Patreon, which is patreon.com/footreview. Wimby says, I agree with Chris. It's just all about to increase FOMO. Yeah, I think that's probably it. And I didn't do any until just now, that red one. And therefore, I'm not too bored anyways. Then again, I had to ask you guys how the red one actually worked, because I didn't do any evos before. there's that. Chris, it is time for Start, Sub, and Sell before we go into the advertisement break and start to look back at 2023. So which cards do you have? I will sit this one out and you ask it to the other guys.
Well, you've kind of sprung on me, John, but I will get them for you. So this one, Start, Sub, and Sell, we are going to go with the dynasties. The players that we have selected are Hadji. He is an 89 rated cam at the moment, 55k, so we're not going high values. We've went high values recently. The Veron card that we spoke about, 89 rated, 74k at the moment. And the Rivaldo card, 89 rated also, and he is the most expensive one at 190. So for the guys, which one do you start, which one do you sub, and which one will you sell?
Ingve.
I would start Veron, I would sell Rivaldo, and of course I'll use Hadji as a sub.
John?
Start Hadji, sub Veron, and drastically unfair, sell Rivaldo, one of the best players in the world at his time, and not treated with respect by EA.
Two-star weak foot.
That's what I said, not treated with respect.
I would sell Rivaldo instantly because, well, why have a two-star weak foot player in your team? Well, he's actually still a lot of coins. I would keep Veron because Chris just hyped him. And Hadji I put on the bench just out of respect for Archom because it's his favorite player of all time. Chris, let me ask you, though, because I want to take a couple of seconds. What do you think?
I like Hadji. I'd start him. He's small, agile. He always does good for me anytime I've packed him. I enjoy him. And Enes Hadji's son, while he's on loan, is still a Rangers player. And as he said, it's Ibrox, baby. Veron would be on my bench. And Rivaldo, I'm with John on that one. I mean, who can remember the World Cup? I think it was Japan and Korea. He was pushing to be the top goal scorer along with Ronaldo. I think it was in 92 or 2002 it was. It was after the World Cup, I remember, in Paris, where Ronaldo had that issue and he came back real super strong. So yeah, Rivaldo, unfortunately, I'd have to sell, but I wish he was so much better in game.
91 is a bit better though, but still.
That's four always, star, always, star, right? Always yeah. Buy the four-star one, Rivaldo, but he's 1 million.
Yeah. If I back him, I still sell him. That out of the way, it's time for a little ad break. After the break, we'll look back in 2023. We'll look at our highlights and, of course, say a little thank you. We'll be right back after this.
This show is sponsored by Car Money, the car finance ninjas, fighting to make cars affordable and accessible for everyone, no matter your financial situation. Nikki, the car finance ninja here, compares the top car finance lenders in both the UK and Australia to get you the best possible price so you don't have to, and they can get you approved fast. All you need to do is choose your new car and drive away happy. Get in touch with one of their friendly ninjas and start your car finance journey today.
And we're back. So this was the most intensive, longest, interesting ad break I've ever experienced at the history of this show. I can't even speak English anymore, but Chris actually came up with a new topic. We're actually two in it. So Chris, I'm just going to give you the word. Just you name it. What you want to do today and what's special?
Well, just on the back of the ZZ debate that we had, Shaq and Wimby, who's in the chat tonight, well, they did need
they
this.
They didn't have a debate. They agreed.
No, they agreed. I mean, let's be honest. It was an annihilation of ZZ, the poor man, one of the best players in the world with a God touch. They didn't rate his SBC, and I think that's putting it mildly. And to be fair, they've taken some heat. But as I say, they've got big, broad shoulders. We've seen them on the YouTube. They are big guys, and so they can handle themselves. They've took it on the chin. They've taken it well, and they've had a bit of laugh with it. But it made me think, what's more important? You know, and we called it centimeter. Is it more important to love a card or is it better to use a card that is meta? So for me, the reason I ask this is because every year I get Socrates. I love that 82 Brazilian World Cup team, and I really want Zico. That's what I save my coins up for. I don't care if they're meta or not. I just want them in my team because I just love those cards, and it brings back those fond memories, as I say, Spain 82, the last great Brazilian team. There has been teams that have won the World Cup, but none of them played that true Brazilian style. So for you guys, do you like to use a card that you actually love, or is it more important to use the meta?
Let's start with the guy that uses Mbappe and Gullit in the team, though.
Meta, 100%. Roy Keane was...
He's looking for St. Johnston players, but he can't find them. Like, exactly. I'm going full meta, no matter what happens.
Yeah, well, I can't even with St. Johnston players to meta. Right, if you take Roy Keane as a prime example, he was, and everybody will accept, he was probably one of the best midfielders in the world, right? He's not usable, really, in FC or FIFA. And now, I know he got that icon that was 93 last year, but again, that came very late in the game, and he was good for a couple of weeks, and then he was overridden. There's a prime example, Scholes. Again, fantastic midfielder. He's just not usable. You would love to use these cards.
It's just like EA doesn't really like Man United, though.
It could be. Maybe
Beckham, not got a... same story.
Sponsorship deals. I think that's what that screams.
Well, they gave Maguire a good card.
But from that point of view, that's what I would say. Yes, I would love to use those cards, but they're not really usable. So from that point of view, yeah, I would rather take a card that improves my team and makes me play better.
Well, let's ask Liverpool, Mr. Liverpool, though.
Yes, I'm guessing that's me. I prefer to use players that I kind of like in real life. I play better with them. I wouldn't mind, of course, packing Mbappe, but I wouldn't kind of spend all my coins on buying him because me and Mbappe are having some issues during the last few years when it comes to gaming. So he is not performing as well as Trezeguet, I'm pretty sure. If I used him now, he wouldn't score as much. He would create more havoc, I'm sure, but he wouldn't put away as many goals. So that's kind of my issue. I really had a nice admiration for Trezeguet when I was younger, when he was active. So I really love using him, and it was fun. So I'm all about the fun and not about the meta.
Chris, yourself?
Oh, for me, it's the love of the card. I mean, I use Lewandowski because I love that Polish power. I just think he's a wonderful player. You know, as I say, Socrates, Zico, Zidane, I don't really care. And to be fair, I'm going to stick up for Wimby because I know he's took a little bit of heat about it. and people are saying it's a skill issue. I'm telling you right now, I've watched Wimby play on Twitch. It's certainly not a skill issue. And there'd be nothing, I'm sure he'd be nothing for him better than Charlie Savage scoring the winning goal to take him to his 11 wins in weekend league. There's something special about that. We have a bond to this game. Because we love football and we love the players. I mean, if I could get a Todd Cantwell card up to 92 rated and use him at the end of the season, I would absolutely adore that. So for me, it's more about using the player that I love and actually the meta.
Well, Chris, just use the player now. Just play your Todd Cantwell in all your champs and just do it, because you just said meta doesn't matter.
It does, to be fair. The reason I'm picking these icons, I'm a wee bit of a hypocrite, I'll be honest with you, right? You've caught me a little bit there, but for me, I think we'd all agree that Socrates is not a meta player. You know, he may be high rated and you do need these cards. Let's be honest, you can't. I mean, put a St. Johnston team together, they are bronze. I don't think there's a grade lower than bronze for St. Johnston. So I think they are round of bronze. So I think they're just on the cusp of bronze. They are slightly faded a little bit, but they are still bronze. But you couldn't use them in weekend league, to be fair. You know, and I think, you know, there's certain cards that you just love to use. You know what I mean? So for me, yeah, it's got to be the cards that you love. And it makes it that wee bit special when you score a goal with them. And to be fair to you, John, I'm sure if you could get that St. Johnston card to that high rated and be able to use them in your weekend league, mate, you'd love to use it.
Absolutely. I'd agree with that 100%.
Yeah, fair enough. Chris, use your players you adore or wear a green shirt in-game?
Oh, there's no way.
And go all meta.
No, mate. Look, I'm going to tell the listeners out there, I know we've had a couple of drinks, okay? So we're maybe telling a wee bit of secrets here, but I stopped using the Celtic strip because when I got beat, I got triggered even more than I get triggered just now. So I can't use it because it's just too painful when I get beat in weekend league or rivals, even squad battles, getting beat by a team that wears a Celtic strip. I just can't handle it. So I had to change it. So I used some obscure German third division team that I know nothing about as a strip. So no, there's no green going in this team. As well as, you know, Lara, who's my wife, is a Hearts fan, so there's definitely no green in this house either.
No, that's purple, eh?
Purple, mate.
Maroon.
We've just annoyed Kirky, who's listening. We do know it's Maroon Kirky.
I know, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding, man. I'm kind of dependent, if I'm honest. Like, I am not too dependent on a team, but also if I pack Mbappe tomorrow, I'll put him in my team no matter what, because I just don't see a point of using cards I like over that one. But for example, I can pretty much use Marco van Basten now. And I'm still hoping for that Marco van Basten gets a new SBC card, right? And I'll use him. But then if I pack the best player in the game, I'll just use him no matter what. And that year, like last year, when I packed the Benzema, he's just going to be in, period. So I'm fine with using Pirlo now and using some phone cards, which I always use. Like, but Nedved got replaced as well once I got better cards. So I'm probably meta then, I guess. But this year, I think there's not such a thing as like really meta cards you see in every team. I mean, maybe Virgil is the only one you see. Everyone's like, okay, that's the best defender, and that's about it. But there's pretty diverse teams going around as well. Also because there's lots of different setups. So I'm not sure I'm going to call anything meta. Like if you let a pro player pick, they pick Gullit and Mbappe, and they don't care about the rest, right? And I think that shows everyone would pick those. But besides that, there's pretty diverse teams. So I'm not sure there isn't literally meta like we've had in previous years so far. Not in formation and not in the players used. Or maybe I'm seeing it wrong.
I think there's still meta players out there. I mean, I think the Mbappe card will always be meta in the right hands. You know, I've come up against that 92 rated card, and you know, when you do come up against the skillful players who can do those 5-star skills, it doesn't matter if you've got 90 rated Van Dijk in your team, that guy is just going to glitch past you. So he is a cheat code in the right hands. You know, I think it just depends on what type of player you want to be, and you will probably get more of a buzz using a player you love than using a meta card.
That's fine. That's true. Let us know what you think. Also talking about, we did the, if you're listening to us on Spotify, check out the notes under the show, because we are going to be pushing more polls and questions there, just answers, and we can take those into the show as well. Chris, 2023 is almost done. I was talking about this is the last show, but it's not the last show if you just follow the sheets, the feeds, because next week, we'll be releasing two special shows featuring Aaron, talking about mental health, stability, how to deal with FOMO, and all kinds of interesting stuff. You should really check those out. But this is the last show we'll do this year, which we obviously talk about content. Unless something weird happens, we just feel like let's talk about something special that came out, but that would probably be on our socials. So we'll be putting out two shows next week, and then we'll be away 1 week to be back in January, start of January. So between Christmas and New Year, we'll all take a little break and enjoy the content that came up. So that's just a little bit of housekeeping. I've got some stats from 2023 about the podcast, though, because did you guys know how many shows you do? And now you know, because I shared it with you. So I'm just going to name some numbers, because we actually did 87 shows, 88 if you count today, but let's not count today still. We did 87 shows in 2023. We made more than 6,500 hours of content. We did also, I think, about a dozen training shows, but I found it hard to find those. And there is a number of appearances by host. So let's go out from those 87 shows. Let's not count the bonus shows. I made 53 shows. I hosted 53 shows. Or actually, I've been on 53 shows this year out of 87. Daniel, second with 37 shows. And John, who's going to be third? Is it going to be Ingvi or is it going to be Chris, you think? John is now thinking, saying, how do I unmute myself again?
No, no, I know where I am. I know where I am in the pecking order. I come in with 7.
Yeah, you're on 7. You're last with Cal on 7. But still, that 7 shows. There's more podcasts some people make in their whole life.
Oh, so. Yeah. And I do appreciate it. And I enjoy every one of them.
And tonight makes you 8. So you actually beat Cal in 2023, if we put the call seriously. Ingvi, you're on 30 shows, my friend, this year.
Nice.
30 out of 87. And Chris, you actually did the most shows, but most of them were specials. Yes. Or a lot of them were specials. So you were on 29 official shows.
Well done, Ingvi, mate. Well done, mate.
Thank you. Well done, everybody.
But you were on 17 special shows.
Thank you.
So, and that would make it so that you almost beat me if we were going home. Well, but I didn't come out especially.
I am the housewife's favourite. What can I say? They all want more GPM. I see the tweets all the time. Bring back Chris. Where is Chris? We miss him. We need him back.
Well, actually, when I came to Edinburgh, I was like, I'm on Food and Review. And they're like, you're not Chris. No, that's true. So they almost sent me back home. Nathan is with 24. And Shaq has been on 4 for a long time, but now he's on 11 because he's now a weekly regular. So he'll probably be catching up at 24 with most of us, I think. And like I said, Kyle and John are both on 7. And let's not forget Aaron, because he's not only making 2 special shows, which he will be released next week, but he has been a very busy year for him. But he did came on 2 shows, so that makes it a total appearances. But I think 87 shows we've been listened and watched this year in 45 countries. We were in the top 5% of Spotify video broadcasts. So top 5% of all video shows we make are that we are in. That's pretty cool. There's 3 listeners average in Netherlands. Just some interesting facts. And 45% of our listeners usually come on average from the UK. And the weird thing is, almost half of those are from Scotland. And no, it's not just two. It's just not 2 people listening. Just putting it out there. I want to ask you guys, though. I'll do a little bit in the end. But let's start with Ingvi. Ingvi, is there anything in 23 concerning the podcast which stands by you? You consider a highlight or, something negative, what happened, what stood by it, or something. What's something you want to highlight here? Or you want to at least share with us?
No, I've just had a blast whole year doing the podcast, so I'm enjoying every single one of them. I am gutted when I can't come, so because I feel like I'm a missing important thing, kind of joy that I have in my daily life. So I'm looking forward to this every week, starting on Monday, and looking forward to what we're going to talk about on Friday. So I'm just really happy being a part of this. So I don't think it's and there's nothing negative about it at all. So I enjoy it.
Yeah, and if you're wondering why I don't have a list for all 573 shows, that's because it took me a long while to get all the information about those 87 shows we made this year. So maybe if there's a volunteer who wants to help us with those statistics, please reach out. But let me tell you, we started this 4.5 years ago, something, V. Mm-hmm. It's been a heck of a ride, and I'm glad you were with me on that ride, mate.
I'm so happy to be here. So, yeah, pleasure.
I'm going
to
end with Chris, though, because John missed the send out, I would almost say. How has 23 been for you for the podcast?
I've loved it. Loved every podcast that I've been on. I think we did one before. Was it FIFA for Everyone or EA Sports for Everyone that peaked really quite high. So I was delighted to be involved with that. But for me, it's just been part of this community. You know, trips to Edinburgh, got Crete on the horizon, Friends for Life, and it's all just come from playing a game. It's fantastic.
Yeah, awesome to hear, though. Let's go to Chris for a sec, because Chris, you all are already teary-eyed, I see.
That's just the beer, mate. That's just the beer that does it. For me, I mean, I've got four highlights, if you don't mind me saying, John. One was...
No, that's why I want to end with you, because, hey,
one was
you take up the remaining show.
The pod with Foot AST. He's an absolute legend. He's you and Yngwie, you know, and him were the... Andrew was the guys that got me drawn into the pod. And to do a show with him, we hadn't seen him for a long time, was amazing to be on him. Actually, to be honest with you, there's five. I love doing the specials in the summer. I know there were Discord specials for the guys when we did our final FIFA teams. It was absolutely amazing, the passion that came out there. And, you know, if people are thinking of joining the Discord, those shows are still available, and they're worth a listen. Just to hear the passion, I know you three guys were on it, just to hear the passion that everybody had about their team, how much we love this game. You know, people look at me and they'll say, you do a FIFA podcast? Why do a FIFA podcast? Because we love the game. The camaraderie is just amazing. Having Anna Foot on, I mean, that was a blast, that, John. I mean, your questions still tickle me to this day. I'll be sitting at my desk at work laughing. And what are you laughing at? I say, well, you know, about milking the cow. I mean, to be fair, she was amazing fun. We'd love to have her back on. I'm sure she's...
I didn't ask how to put the milk in a cow.
You didn't ask that? No, I said how to milk a cow. The bit about milking a cow. She was amazing. To me, to be fair, she was great fun. She's a wonderful person. If you see any of her tweets, the job that she does as well, she's absolutely amazing. We'll definitely get her back on for there. But I think the biggest highlight for me was where we went to Crete and also the meetups we've had in Edinburgh. This year, you know, it was great in Edinburgh. We got to meet Caden and Kirky. Big shout out to those guys. You know, it was great to have them. They're wonderful, wonderful people. We had a great laugh. Caden, the Perth pool shark there, yeah, teaching us a lesson how to play pool. Kirky, amazing to have him on as well. Great to meet these guys. It was absolutely a blast. But when we went to Crete, John, I mean, I think you have to say we were blown away. Our Greek brother, Marios, sending him all the love. I mean, we love him to bits. What an amazing guy he is. Him and his family, the time that we had, everybody who went, it was just tremendous. So for people who are listening, thinking, I'd love to join the Discord, I'd love to go to Crete, that option is still open to you guys. It's there. You just have to click that button, patreon.com/footandreview. You'll find us. Come and join it, and guarantee you, you'll never leave.
Yeah, that's awesome. I got many highlights, though, and of things that actually stand by me. This is the first year I went on a holiday, woke up, and suddenly there were new shows, which I think was pretty cool to see. So I was listening to the podcast we created, and Daniel just made sure I could go on a holiday, which was pretty amazing. That was the first time in those three and a half years since then where that happened. That was pretty cool. Crete was, of course, absolutely fantastic. And looking at the schedule, how it's going to be this year, it's not going to be 50% better, but it's a whole new level. So I'm very much looking forward to that. Of course, going there, having a cab driver waiting for you and stuff was a cool experience as well. And doing a live show with an astonishing view. So, yeah. Looking forward to that, and this year I might bring all the good gear as well, Chris, when we go
definitely.
There. So,
and I'll bring that little thing as well, John. Sorry about that. I know I've ruined the podcast for getting a wee lead. I do apologize for that.
That's right. You forgot half the gear, but that's all right. It's not like I didn't mention it 20 times before you left, but it happens. It happens. The thing I'm very proud of, that not specifically this year, but it goes for every year, is the community we created. And that's why I didn't want to shout out to Skybox owners. Of course, we very much appreciate it, but this one goes out to every single supporter, everyone listening, everyone giving us a 5-star review, everyone responding, even negatively, honestly, on the socials, but just making sure the show keeps growing. I'm not like we did really well last year, but this year we've grown over 50% in 1 year. And I'm very proud of the YouTube shows we now are able to put out. The responses come to that. People say some of the shows we've done, well, trigger something in them or mean something to them. People sending in questions, sharing personal stories. People, well, even like Yngwie says, waking up and then the Discord server, everyone says, good morning, how's everyone doing? And share negative stories, but help each other out, be there for everyone. Help Joel get qualified, share stuffs and just, you know, make sure everyone help each other. That community is where I'm very happy with. And if I would stop making anything FC 24 related tomorrow, the podcast would still probably go on, right? I mean, the way we build this. I'm very much appreciated, and it's hard work. I mean, when this goes out, it's probably 3 a.m. when I'm done with the work. But I do that with every single passion, like every single inch of passion I've got, to just make sure you get the best of the best, what we can do. And we're trying to make it better every single time. So feedback, anything, just let us know. There's a Q&A in every single episode. When you look at it on Spotify, you can just drop any remark there. It won't get published right away, but we will 100% see it. Every review you give, every message you send on filmreview.com, we'll read it. I know our socials has been, this sounds arrogant, I might know, I've been exploding lately. So I can't react to everything, but we do read everything. I just want to put that out there.
Can I say something before I forget it? I love the poem that we got.
The poem, yeah, which of course I don't have in front of me now, right? But we did. Someone sent us a poem as well, indeed, right? Which was pretty cool.
Fantastic.
I'll make sure to send that to Daniel next. I'll make sure to put it on the website or something. I'll get it out there sometime. But stuff like that just means the world to us, right? The most funny thing that I experienced this year, though, was that we started with social media to put it a little bit on a higher level, we think. And I didn't know where to start. So what we did, we got some help and people made scripts for us. We just read, I just sat in front of the camera. I read about 40 scripts and they just edited it all together, right? Just to give it a boost. And for some, when the game came out, someone gave me a wrong script. So I read out the wrong button combination for the actual clip we made. I was talking about a tech or something, but I read something else out. And we just put it live. And people were like, hey, this doesn't sound right. This isn't right. This isn't right. But we just started on TikTok then. And like my phone was out of battery at noon. I'm like, what's happening here? And we got 1.8 million views and I think 15,000 responses or 18,000, like something like that. And thousands of followers by that. I'm like, you are so wrong. Like, yeah, but hey, even bad PR is probably good PR for us, right? That was sort of funny, although it felt bad me saying the wrong things. Well, I actually didn't even know which clip it was recorded for. So that's a little secret which you put out there now. But yeah, it was fun to see that we got so many views on that as well. And yeah, and I see people caring. And I think that's most important. Like if Daniel's not here for 2 days, people ask, where's Daniel? Unfortunately, not with me, but that might be a meeting. But if Chris's not here for 2 weeks, I ask if everything's all right with Chris. Same with Nathan. Asked if John still goes on. People send in messages about John's qualifying. I think we're definitely not like we always we started out saying we're the number one independent podcast, because we are independent, not because we're the number one podcast. And we don't even strive to be. We try to be the number one community for everyone. I think that's the most important thing. We know everyone that's in the community. Even if you're not supporting us anymore, but you leave us a review, we recognize your name, we write it down, we make sure we know what's in. And the merchandise, and this, we send everyone like merchandise every 3 months, not because it's financially so viable to do so, but just because we appreciate everyone that does like send us a little bit of money to help us keep doing this, right? And I think I just said about enough, Chris. I don't even know how far long I can continue, but if I'd start thanking people, it's too much. All I wanted to do for now is say, we appreciate, if you're listening to this, we appreciate you sharing this, commentating on this. We just appreciate this. And we, well, all want to wish you a Merry Christmas if you're celebrating. And of course, a very good New Year. Stay safe. And Chris, do you have any closing thoughts, my friend?
Yeah. We just want to say a final festive thank you to all our Foot and Review family. We love you all. We love your criticism, especially that given out to those two ZZ haters. We know who you are. We love your positive feedback, but most of all, we love your 5-star reviews. So don't be a Scrooge. If you haven't given us one, please give us a festive 5-star review. Even if you hate us, tell us that, but please still give us a 5-star review. So stay safe, everybody. Have an amazing festive period. All the best to you and your family. We'll see you in the new year. Drop it.
Drop it.
Drop it.
Drop it.
Drop it.
F-U. F-U. F-F-F-F-U. F-U. T. T.
interview.